Somebody in the room suggested that we watch the whole movie, and I wouldn't be opposed to that, but we've got other things going on today. I love that movie. He's a fake, he's not the real Santa. And people were saying, like, what are you going to pull out of that game? Like, what are you going to focus on? I love the part where the store manager says, Santa's coming tomorrow, 10 a.m. And Buddy the Elf gets super excited. He goes, I know him. Like a smile on his face. I know him. I want that phrase to resonate deep in your souls today. I know him. See, when you think about Jesus, when you think about salvation, when you think about eternal life, Jesus is very clear what eternal life is. That eternal life and salvation isn't like, okay, I prayed a prayer, I went to church, I did this. No, he's very clear. He says in John 17:3 this. He's praying to God, and this is towards the end of his earthly time, his time here on earth. And Jesus is praying, and he speaks these words in John 17:1. He says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. If you have a Bible, I would underline that, circle that verse. This is eternal life, that they know you. Deep knowing that. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The word here, know, knowing, communicates a direct personal experience, a continuous relationship. It communicates not just knowing facts and figures about someone, but knowing them personally, not from a distance, not through others, not through books, but personally. It signifies a deep firsthand experiential understanding rather than mere intellect or analytical knowledge. It's the knowing you get from a direct experience encounter. This is eternal life. Jesus says, this is eternal life. That you know me. Like, and that communicates so much of Jesus' heart. He longs for a relationship. He longs to know us, to know our hearts. God the Father, and Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And it paints this amazing picture. It's not even a picture, a reality. That God longs to know you. And God wants you to know him. Again, not about facts or figures, but a direct, firsthand, experiential knowing. One of the verses that scares me the most, you can turn there to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. This verse terrifies me every time I read it. And frankly, it brings up a holy fear deep inside of my soul. These are words of Jesus. It says this in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? I mean, stop there a second. Don't go to the next slide. Just stop there. Like, Lord, we did all of these things. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did mighty works in your name. I mean, today in our culture, like, if you took pictures of that, if you had videos of that online, like, you could develop quite a big ministry, quite a big following. People would be like, wow, you are doing the stuff. You're crushing it. Like, doing, like, not just, all right, I filled a coffee cup, and that's important. This is big stuff. Like, Lord, we did this stuff. We did huge things, and we did it in your name. And then Jesus says, following this, he says this. Next slide. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Wait, they were doing all these amazing things in his name. It just communicates to us this morning. That works without, like, this deep relationship, a deep knowing, that is just nothing. That's just garbage. And Jesus desires I never knew you. Let's flip it around. Jesus is declaring, I want to know you. I want to know you. The picture that I had is that Will Ferrell playing Buddy the Elf. He's like, I know Santa. I know him. I know him. I know him. The picture that I had, when we cross into eternity, the words that we want to hear from Jesus, looking us into the eye, our eyes, saying, oh, I know him. Oh, I know him. And yeah, he did some things, but that's like, let's move that aside. But I know you. And that's eternal life. When you and I cross over and we see Jesus face to face, it's not about golden roads. It's not about how big the house you're going to have up in heaven. It's all about seeing Jesus face to face and looking at him in the eyes and being like, oh, I know him. I know him. I have this relationship. I've known him all my life. And now I see him completely and I see him fully. This is what we're invited into. This is the very point. This is the very foundation, the point and the purpose of the gospel. Even Paul said later in Philippians 3, and I love this passage, Philippians 3, Paul looked at all of his earthly and worldly accomplishments, all of his stuff, and he said, it is all crap. It is all junk. It's all poop. It's all a pile of rubbish. And he actually uses a slang word for it. I won't say it here, but you can imagine. Like, he uses pretty harsh language. He says, all of that is crap, rubbish, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing in our hearts, this deep knowing, Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that's why Paul even prayed in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 says this, I pray that you would know, not up here, not facts and figures, that you would know this experiential knowledge. You would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That surpasses knowledge. I love this because this is really the normal Christian life. This walking with God. Walking in deep relationship with God. It's seen all throughout Scripture. And I won't go through all the passages, but even you go back all the way to the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. Even after Adam and Eve sinned, it says in Genesis 3:9, I believe, it says that God was walking in the cool of the day, looking for Adam, looking for Eve. And you get this picture that's what they did on a regular basis. They would walk in the cool of the day. They would walk in the evening and talk. Like, you get this beautiful picture of relationship, of knowing in the garden. That's what we were created for. Go one chapter later, a couple chapters later. And there's a story that I always love. It's a man named Enoch. And it's not this long story. It just says that Enoch walked with God. And then he was not. For God took him. Walked with God. Enoch walked with God, knew God, I would say. We don't know any of his accomplishments. We don't know nothing of his family. The only description that we get of Enoch's life is that he walked with God. Would that be an adequate description of your life? Would that be the goal of your life? You get to the end of your life and people just say, yeah, CeCe walked with God. Dan walked with God. Jason walked with God. Rachel walked with God. We all look for these accomplishments. And here is a simple description. Enoch walked with God. Let me fast forward. Look at Psalm 23. I did put these words up on the screen. And this is such a familiar psalm. But there's beauty in this psalm. And it's familiar and it's powerful for a reason. Because it communicates this knowing the Lord. This walking with the Lord. I just want to read it this morning. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's that firsthand experiential knowing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He wants me to rest. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The thing that just blows me away about this psalm that I'm sure many of you have read numerous times is that from the very beginning to the end, it's all about the presence of the Lord. You restore my soul. You lead me in paths of righteousness. You guide me along green pastures. You make me lie down. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I'm going through just hell on earth, you are with me. You're with me, and you get me through it. When I'm surrounded by my enemies, you invite me to this table, and you sit with me. And that picture of sitting at a table is another picture of deep, deep relationship. It's like there's enemies all around. There's people talking all around. There's things happening all around. And the Lord sits with us in the middle of it. All the way to the end of our lives. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this even begins at the beginning of our life. I mean, this is all throughout our life, but even when we were in our mother's womb, this communicates the heart of the Father, that He was with us. Look at Psalm 139. It says, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Like that, like, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. All right, I'm going to embarrass somebody right now because it's not just you. Nicole, get up here. Everybody say hi to Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
You're saying hi to Nicole, but you're also saying hi to someone else because she is how many weeks pregnant?
19
weeks pregnant. You find out in a week if you're having a boy or a girl. Are you going to tell us or no?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, that's true. Okay, so she is 19 weeks pregnant. She has this little child growing inside of her. But just get the picture that as she's doing all of this hard work of just being healthy and providing a great space for this baby to grow and develop, as Cam watches along. Good work, Cam. She's not alone. But more importantly, the child is not alone. Inside the womb, the Lord is putting eyes and nose on him or her. Giving him or her a personality, speaking words into him, his or her ears, developing lungs. Like that is absolutely amazing. Before, when this was happening with all of you, when you were in your mother's womb, the Lord was with you. Give her a round of applause. All you have to do is stand. Yeah. And from the very beginning of our lives to the very end, Revelation 21 says that the Lord, when this is all said and done, the Lord will dwell, be with his people. Be with his people. It's powerful. Powerful truth, powerful reality on this last day of 2026. God with us. God longs to do life with us. And this is the point and the purpose of the gospel, is that Jesus wants to do life with you and me. God wants to be with us. He doesn't want you to experience him through secondhand experiences. He longs for a first-hand encounter with you. Hebrews 10 says you can run right into his throne room because of the blood of Jesus. We can run right in. And so this year, as we wrap up this year, I wanted to just take some time and give some space to just reflect on 2026. And what the Lord did in your life. And I have a number of questions that I would love for you just to look through. And what I want to do is we wrap up kind of this service and we just have some time of sharing with one another. And there's some questions up on the screen, and I have some printouts here too. But also, if you want to download those questions, you can scan that QR code. But as you see these questions, there are more questions that you can answer. This is not a test. This is not like you have to answer every single question. These are questions that will just hopefully spark memories, spark thoughts, ways that you have seen God work in your life, God being with you in this last year. And I read something this week in regards to these questions, and it says, don't try to answer all of them. Instead, pick one or two of these questions that either sting, they might kind of hurt you a little bit, they might kind of poke at something, or a question that makes you sing. That brings some joy to you. Just sit with them. So here's what I want to do. Maybe you want to do this with just your family. Maybe you want to do this with those around you. I want us to circle up. And there's two little sections. I want us to look at the last year, and I want you to just chat about and just think through your life. Here's some questions. Where did you experience joy this year? What are you celebrating? What thrilled you the most this year? People, activities, experiences? Where were you moved or overwhelmed with a sense of awe and wonder? Next slide. Where were you grieved or saddened this year? Where did you experience pain? What drained you the most this year? Where did you feel rushed in your soul this year? Where did the noise of life drown out the quiet, peaceful presence of God? How has God present in both the highs and the lows? Maybe this question, do you know Jesus better today than you did 365 years ago? That's a long time. 365 years. Do you have deeper, more conversational intimacy with him? And where were you obedient to the Holy Spirit's leading? And then also, as you look through last year, it's not just about you, but how did the Lord work through you? Next slide. Name one person. Maybe it's at Restoration. Maybe it's another church or a family member, neighbor, whose growth made you genuinely happy. What did you see in them? Did you take time to name that growth to them? Where did you engage in good kingdom mischief? Where did you take a holy risk to love someone, even if it was messy or unexpected? If you can't think of one, what prevented you from taking a holy risk? Were you wildly inefficient for the sake of the gospel? Did you slow down for the one in the crowd? Were you interruptible? It's easy to answer that question. So, here's what we want to do. Take some time. Circle up with people around you, or you can just be by yourself and reflect on this. You can also download those questions there by scanning that QR code. And let's just reflect for a little bit on the last year. Usually we think about the last week and how did God move in the last week of our lives. But I want you to look at all 2025. Where did you see God at work? And feel free to use any of those questions to prompt you into something. So circle up and go across the room, chat with one another, pray with one another. Let's circle up and I'll give you a couple minutes.
I'm gonna grab a chair.
Yeah,